interrupting the current neo-euchronial, climate-changed, behaviorally challenged, energy-controlled, alien-starved. Is that right, folks? No, it's climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded. Aliens invading. We got a little bit of news about that. Nuclear glowing. They want us to believe, possibly, with the idiots we have in Washington and around the world. Postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 545. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed. Be an active member to your own freedom. And I've explained 4 years and over a decade how that starts to become done. It's not the end all be all, it's just a tip of the iceberg, but it gives you the direction, the first steps of the path and the journey that allows you to resist an oppressor. And that really comes down to whoever they think they are. You challenge certain authorities that they think they have, and quickly you'll find out whether or not they have them or not. And the government's kind of easy that way because it's all written. It is a limited government. It's limited by what's in the statute, even though it's been overthrown. Those statutes are literally the evidence of an overthrown condition. I won't go too far because everyone takes this thing and runs and thinks that they know what's going on, but you have to understand the nuts and bolts. You read it in the statutes. You read it in what they did. The Libra Code's not a joke. It tells you, you knows them when you see them, and you knows them by what they did. That's even biblical. You know them by the fruits. So you look at all that stuff. Pay attention. You don't have to. They won't tell you, and Libra Code says they don't have to tell you. You'll know them as you know what they do. But here we have, as I've also said, watch for historic things, things that are one-offs, brand new, you never heard them before, and then identify them whether or not it was just a being ignorant of a subject matter or actually the function of something. And this week, pretty interesting stuff. In my lifetime, I've been a witness to lots of things. And this is another one of those things that is historic. It's never happened before. And it shows when I read history, what could happen in the government. When the fisticuffs could have come out, there was a lot of contention and there was a lot of things that could be done that we haven't seen in our lifetime here with what's gone recently. That should be going on. We have a little glimpse that could be going on if there was actual representation in government. As we see this last week, Kevin McCarthy ousted, an historic pushback from the House. Kevin McCarthy ousted as House Speaker in a historic vote. GOP Congressman Kevin McCarthy was stripped of the Speaker's gavel on Tuesday, marking the first time in history when the leader of the chamber has been voted out. A handful of Republicans in the U.S. House of Representatives on Tuesday ousted Republican Speaker Kevin McCarthy as party infighting plunged Congress into further chaos just after it narrowly averted a government shutdown. The final vote was 216-210 in favor of the motion to, quote, vacate the chair. Very cool stuff as far as dynamic in the government. You watch how this worked out. You watch out who the players are and who were really who that voted that out, and it took the Democrats to all agree, and they did, and it took 8 Republicans, which I've seen being condemned for doing so, to oust the Speaker. Those of us in the peanut galleries, I wrote in Twitter, always knew this guy from California, claiming to be a Republican, was a Democrat coming out of the gate. So I think they were pretty well starting to see that. But as we move through and try to analyze all this, you know I'm not a big fan of the two-party system. I don't think it exists. You look in the Constitution, it's all about those parties and not about you. In fact, the voter has no vote. There's only electors, and there's only a few of those folks. And so all this other voting stuff is pretty interesting relative to national side. But when we look at this, could McCarthy's saga be a bipartisan strategy to quietly end Ukraine, end the aid to Ukraine? And this is kind of interesting how they're, again, soft-pedaling. We had a real problem with Ukraine, as I've told you what the problem has been all the time. Again, you may say, oh, you don't listen to Putin as a... Hillary Clinton is saying you're supporting Putin. Well, he has something to tell you. He's a power in the world, and he makes decisions. And he was letting everyone know what was going to happen. And I took my lead from that when I found out which I didn't understand why they would invade Donetsk. They didn't really invade. They were going to protecting, and because of some promises that were made to Russia that were in breach by the West, and in particular NATO. And you'll read all about that if you look at the history and stop listening to mainstream media for the most part. But could this McCarthy saga be a bipartisan strategy to quietly end the Ukraine thing, which is really speaking to the Uniparty? Very interesting insight to think about what they're doing to soft pedal this thing back out, because it's a failed strategy, as I told you. This may also be a Uniparty exit strategy for ending the flow of billions of dollars to Ukraine. A recent political article cited a leak of information that the White House is concerned about the corruption in Ukraine and sustainability of continued funding. Most likely, this was a purposeful leak by intelligence to prepare an off-ramp away from spending into the bottomless pit that is Kiev. The problem is, it's not a bottomless pit. It's a morally reprehensible act that the United States has done. It's a foreign entanglement. And we also noticed that it's really cover for essentially a big money laundering and material war machine laundering system. But in the meantime, we're going to cover this. And right after that, very interesting things. We look at the political nature of this. A whole thing is all about politics, not about representing you. It's about maybe the voice that you may have and the noise that you have to show how restless you are. That requires, again, that you can't be quiet. When you find something you're passionate about, speak up about it, even though it doesn't look so good or that it's causing too much trouble. I've been speaking behind Woodshed for over a decade and a half, and there's just not many people that come and knock it. And I don't know if everyone feels guilty that they're going to be behind the woodshed and maybe take the brunt, but that's not what it all means. You have to step up in this world. What my research found, the squeaky wheel in this case, if you will get greased. Well, you're not supposed to get greased. That's the problem. See, that they're starting to grease us. No, they're supposed to be taking away the noise by doing and fixing the broken thing that you, my listener, point out to them if they have an oversight. But subsequent to the McCarthy's ouster, some of folks will be very happy to hear, however it works, in denial beginning, off the bat, again, the political partisan nonsense that goes on, instead of looking at principle and working from there, Biden administration bypasses 26 federal laws to build additional border wall in South Texas. Now, that's pretty interesting all by itself, but right after this ouster comes this discussion, and you understand about the agendas that are running, and now we're also running into the dynamics of a an election cycle. President Joe Biden said Thursday that he doesn't believe border walls work, even as his administration said it will waive. That's not with your wrist and fingers, it is somebody, some friend. No, they're taking it away, a federal law. If you saw law and order, no, they just waive it. They're not very convenient. They'll waive 26 laws to build additional border barriers in the Rio Grande Valley amid heightened political pressure over migration, right subsequent to the ouster of the speaker. Very interesting. But the DHS Secretary Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, cites an immediate need now to waive regulations, build a border wall in Texas as immigration surges. It's another communicable disease, I suppose, surging now, this pathogen surging, and it's really a problem. You've heard me talk about it. I don't get pressing on too much. This is a lot more politics I normally speak about, but it's historic stuff going on. Let's look at it. Let's see how this thing works out. It's there to be done. Can you help move this along to help move more quickly toward what the people need, not what these uniparty need? But DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas is citing an acute and immediate need to waive dozens of federal laws to build a border wall in South Texas, where illegal migration has surged like a pandemic, I guess. The thing that I find interesting, the title says it's a regulations. The text says it's a law, no, federal law. I would suspect possibly there's the regulation which can be waived. However, they're moving heaven and earth here to build now the wall that the people that support Trump were saying needs to be done, that Trump said needs to be done. And so we see a political action despite what Biden wanted. No, he's going to go ahead and go with the flow, or actually the law, to protect the country finally. And however that works, however, whatever I say in derogation to this political nonsense that we see in this theater, and however the uniparty may or may not exist, that wall apparently is going to be more built. And I do think it's, just to put my voice on the record, if it's needed, if you wouldn't already guess, I already talked to you about a cell. A cell needs protection. We watched the invasion of that with the pandemic, the so-called pathogen and never-proven infectious agent invading a cell and taking it out. Well, you get a whole lot of those things, a lot of those poisons coming in, and a lot of those protein members coming in. You're going to really destroy cells really quickly. So you need a cell wall if you're going to have a state. And that cell wall is not impervious, but it's not supposed to be free-flowing. And the reason why you do that is for a lot of good reasons why you don't want a disease in your country. You don't want felons in your country if you can identify them. You want an orderly entry, as you're seeing New York not being able to handle it. The so-called progressives, the liberals, now are seeing the error of their ways being these sanctuary places. You can't really do that. You can have your thoughts about certain things, but there's a reality, and there needs to be checks and balances along the way so that you don't essentially infect the rest of the population with really the things that are not really good. Once you've done that, then really, if you've got an open door, you know, the huddled masses nonsense we were told, then you let that part in. And so there has to be an orderly entry. You know, we also know that there's political pressure. Part of this is a foreign imposition and coming in and influence. That should be handled a different way as well. However, funny what a ouster of a McCarthy seemed to have done and an election cycle starts to do. All of a sudden now there's some apparent principle and need to do the better thing, at least, if not the right thing. But we'll go back to this thing about Ukraine. The underlying problem, part of this problem, was the funding of Ukraine, and McCarthy compromising at the end to go ahead and cut out the Ukraine to leave it out for 45 days to let the government continue to plunder the people with bad policies and things for another 45 days. And I don't know what they're going to do at the end of this, but interesting to watch. I would hope that they would shut it all down and start fresh, de-risk and decouple the American people from the fiat system, bring back gold and silver coin. It's going to be a lot hard. It's going to be like ripping a big Band-Aid off of you real fast. But I think we need to do that to get back to some normalcy, separate the speculation from our daily lives. And I don't think that's going to be coming up, even whatever the new speaker is going to say. We go back to Ukraine, and that funding was what really ripped a lot of this out. Why it started and what gave the foothold for Gates to do so. This historic pushback comes on the heels of a report, what I'll call revenge appropriations. Democrats want to bleed Ukraine dry. U.S. Senator of Ohio, Senator J.D. Vance claims that Democrats have ulterior motives for approving Ukrainian military aid packages. It appears to be Vance's position, according to the substance of a social media post. The Democratic figures in Washington are continuing their efforts to fund Kiev's military ambitions, not to support Ukraine, but rather to oppose Russia over claims of Moscow's alleged election interference in 2016. A 1,313-page report in July of 2019, following a nearly two-year investigation into the matter conducted by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, a Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee said it had found evidence of what it said was an extensive campaign undertaken by Russia to boost then-candidate Trump's election bid. Let me offer here, if revenge appropriations will be sought for an unproven slight to Congress, which this ends up being, do you think it beyond consideration these criminal Congress critters will appropriate funds to punish you for your interference through disagreement with their green agenda or any other agenda they may want to have in the future that they want to, despite your wishes? Again, we're looking at them using appropriations to kill people, allow people to be killed. Try to be a distance. It's not my hands. I'll wash my hands of doing. I'll let someone else kill those people over there while we are training ourselves. Are we going to do that? Are we going to become the next Ukraine, our people here, because you don't believe that the green agenda, well, it's just an agenda. It's a religion that should not be foisted, either one of which should not be foisted on you. Will these so-called representatives turn on you too? I don't even think that's a question. Depends on how deep you want to research this. I've talked about leverage funding and how we've already been eaten out and taken down by it. This just shows up, and a senator says that they're utilizing funding and appropriations from the Congress to go do something in foreign places. And remember, the Union states are foreign to the District of Columbia, so don't think we're too far away from that very thing. So wouldn't that be a possibility if they're willing, again, as I say, they're willing to do someone else out there, that I think they'll do it to us here. They're already doing it. Anybody who does any research on these subject matters will see that. Wouldn't that also explain to us, wouldn't that be a flagrant disregard and mean that they no longer represent you? And I say longer, maybe they did at one point, but no longer. We don't see the fisticuffs threatened and the duels happening in Congress going on anymore when there's ardent people that believe in principles that are being violated to stand up for that. Now, that representation question is whether or not they ever did. I don't know. It sure seems like a big scam to me. And that happened a long time, years ago, why I started to look around to try and figure out where did we let it go? How did we let it go? It wasn't so straightforward. And so that's a little bit of a relief. They did it to us in lots of numerous covert ways, occulted ways, without bringing up too much emphasis on the occult. But there are techniques about that work too. And so we don't know what we think in principle. We think these people think in principles. You don't go beat up people, kill them, and set up situations where they be killed. But that's not what these people do. It's still an astonishment to me. Someone who's in debt becomes a Congress critter, and the next couple of years later, they're millionaires. They know something. They've been told something, too. And so they got to be brought into the fold in order to allow this to happen. Ukraine is also a big laundering pit and for all kinds of things. And again, as we see, even women and children. For all the things the UN is supposed to be protecting, that's not what's going on. And all this going on regarding Ukraine is on top of, and despite that, now White House officials privately admit to problems funding Ukraine. So senior White House officials have privately admitted that only weeks remain before the halt of U.S. funding to Ukraine will result in a serious battlefield issues for Kiev's forces, citing the sources within administration of President Joe Biden. Well, that thing was lost before they got started. It's always been known to be a setup for a takedown. I don't know why that's a question for anybody. Anybody listening to me that does any study or listening to me or does the study knows that right off the bat. I haven't said anything outlandish, actually. But the truth, not much gets spread around and promoted, what I say, but it's there and keeps coming back. There's nothing more I can do. I can point out how things are laid out. I can point out the pathways to follow. I can point out some of the things down those pathways. And I can only hope that people receive that and start to make that important for them, find the things that they like and are interested in with a passion and move on all this stuff. I put all this in context. It's easy. Like I said, it's nice to look outward. The United States does on other people. It's harder to see that it does it to you. The government does things to you. Your own state government does it too. It's not just the federal government. Remember, I am an advocate of the 10th Amendment, but it takes your local jurisdictions are absolutely clueless. They're actually guided wrongly by the Bar Association. We can go to numerous examples. I won't do that here. I've talked to you over years on how we've had to counter that. It's one of the first things you have to learn to do. Understand what an attorney's going to say and have all the answers to counter that to a representative for you, a county commissioner, that will listen and not disregard you. And then prepare that commissioner with the tools they're going to need to counter the attorney. And you'd be astonished how easy it is to do that if you just settle down and don't make stuff up. Again, they're limited to that statute thing, the code that everyone disregards, but they have to go by it, and it's easy. It's not necessarily an easy way to win the argument, but it's an easy way to get your basis for it not being an argument, essentially. Sure, you point out how incorrect the attorney might be, or the other parties that are there that don't believe, that haven't read either. You've got to go against that ignorance as well, but you have to do it in a very diplomatic way. It's pretty interesting. But here, this report comes after the Congress last week omitted any funds from the Ukraine in a last-minute 45-day stopgap government spending bill following pushback from the Republican senators. This is not the House. This is the Senate. Additionally, after Republican Kevin McCarthy was ousted from his position of the House Speaker this week, the need to vote for his successor could mean the prospects for a new relief package in the near future seem slim. And all the people that are looking like to be the potential candidates for that, in fact, are against the funding. Although I think Jordan is maybe pushing toward the top of that list. And he made a comment on a Twitter. He talked about, would you rather see money going to Ukraine or border or criminal action? And my response to that in a Twitter was, what about Ukraine? Is it a criminal border action by the West? So I thought that was a little bit myopic, his view there. However, whoever's going to be the speaker, if they can't pick one, Trump just said he would step in temporarily, which is also an interesting thing to hear. The Speaker of the House does not have to be of the House itself. It could be anybody. And so that's going to be interesting. We're watching some interesting historic times. I like to just see it play out, just to watch government function, maybe as an entertainment more than what they are doing to take us down, and we allow that to take down. That's a little more painful to watch us do. So, but never mind the funding. West has no more arms to go to Ukraine. So this money laundering system is about ended anyway. This material system is about ended, getting material weaponry over to the ISIS and the Al-Qaeda's that were created by the United States to fight other countries and make it look like their hands are clean. Never so. But even NATO's most senior military officer has admitted that the bloc has nothing left to give to Ukraine. Former U.S. Marine Brian Barletic, an independent geopolitical researcher and writer, said the battle over the U.S. budget merely masked the West's failure. And I just, this guy is pretty straight up. I don't know why I would have to say anything different. He's pretty much saying what I've said over the year, the month, well, a year now, about this whole thing. And Ed, as a specialist, he comes with some insight that we can I guess use as a higher authority than the guy behind the woodshed. That's for sure. The United States has plenty of money, just printed out of thin air. I don't think that that is really the problem, Berlechtig said. The main problem regarding support for Ukraine is weapons and ammunition. They are simply out of it. And there's no possible way to manufacture or produce it in any timely manner. More news about all that, if you're interested about that. But that's what I said. This is not really a war. We didn't go to war with an inability to make the, well, no will, a political will, and no way to make the ammunition. We didn't go to a war. This was not about going to full-blown battlefield life-and-death war. This is about using a rump state that had conditions all over it, using a corrupt organization. That's going to be another side channel to get off, and they're talking about that right now to stop all this. So this guy's kind of pointing out all the things about the problem that started. Anybody could look at this and see it wasn't right. The United States really caused it in 2014 and all this other thing that we know about. Remember, Ukraine only started in 1991, so this is all under the current, if you will, the current government's auspices. It's not nothing unknown, nothing special that was hidden somewhere for decades in some dusty shelf. But this gentleman, Berlechtig, lamented the lack of cohesive peace movement in the U.S. with established groups. But remember here, folks, and I don't necessarily agree with his point, but look at what's changed since the 60s. In the 70s, relative to Vietnam and other wars. And this is talking to the public perception. This is talking to public support and public will. And he laments the lack of cohesive peace movement in the U.S. with established groups like Code Pink refusing to work with Republicans to cut off funding to Ukraine. In a way, I'm asking you all, my listener, to do that. You have to start doing this because they're into some other game. Unless we, the people, show that we're there watching, they get away with it. Now, they think they get away with it. But there was no peace movement. Now, there's some peace, calling for peace. You've heard me call for the peace. I'm not an advocate that, I don't traipse around with, peace, 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 peace. That should have happened. I told you about the peace accord that was, I'll call it an accord. It may not have been that high level, but it was a draft agreement agreed by both sides in Ukraine and Russia. But as this thing got in, they had agreed to peace, and the United States would not happen. Shows you the United States has a serious problem, and we the people are reflected upon by that. So we would have necessarily been required to start a so-called peace movement. Generally, that's what I've been asking people to try and do for themselves if they think their sons and daughters are being turned into hamburger. Literally, and there's a study about that for the United States soldier, we're going to get to here. Becoming a hamburger for that. The meat grinder is not a joke. Now, up against a real peer is not a war. In war is not a joke. So he's lamenting that there's no peace movement here. He goes, I wish that this was an anti-war movement. I wish this was a Republicans realizing that foreign entanglements are detrimental to the best interests of the American people. Okay, American people's interests would be harmed, not the people that are running the money laundering machine. And this is the big thing I think that's missing in all this. And so we can only hope that it starts to change underneath new speakership. However, he says, but unfortunately, I don't think that this is the case. That is actually Moscow's objective, to eliminate this threat that the United States and the rest of NATO created right at on their border, creating this anti-Russian, violent, murderous proxy raid on their border, Berlechtig stressed. That is why they launched the special military operation to resolve that very tangible threat to their national security. But to keep its proxy fighting, Russia, NATO is running out of bullets, out of weapons and ammunition, he said. And I like that phrase a lot better than war. The proxy fighting. And that's all this is. It's just fighting. It's not a war. Again, you don't go to a war without weapons or ammunition. And so this is what we walked into. They knew that. They knew what was going on. You're watching the double, triple, quadruple speak, hiding behind the fingers as you say stuff. This is what the military has been doing the whole time. So proxy fighting is more like what's going on, not proxy war. A country does not go to war without enough weapons. That should just be a logical sense. When they did, they tried to, that it was already done. We already knew that it was, any of us looking knew that it was a setup for the takedown from the beginning. It was actually to cover the financial and political laundromat that's going on over there, it seems. And I think it's being exposed, so there's a will to shut it down. And this is what's coming on with this new tussle going on in the House. It is pretty cool. I mean, government tussling around. I wish we'd see more of it. It might shake things up about a little bit better, make it more a little more honest than it really is or has been, and cause people to feel uncomfortable. But all that while all that's going, NATO member suspends military aid to Ukraine. So this is the coming message. But they're coming, the reason the nations are finally coming to with reasons behind it, and they come up with a little bit better reason than what the United States would do with U.S. aid to come and take out a country. This country, the Victorious Slavic Social Democracy Party, has promised voters not a single round of ammunition to Ukraine to relook at what they're doing in the interim of their governmental change, because it would not be good precedent to decide to provide military equipment in such a situation when there is a change in political power after an election. Well, that doesn't that sound really similar, like the House changing this political condition and they're going to stop aiding as well? Sounds like a plan. After winning the parliamentary election on Sunday, SMERDSD leader Robert Fico, former prime minister, told journalists that Slovakia and the people of Slovakia have bigger problems than Ukraine. Would we, the United States, feel that we should have done that? They're going to do that to help people. Should we have been so fortunate for our government to send the humanitarian aid to the people of Donetsk that they were suffering before they're suffering the oppression and the bombardment by the government of Ukraine itself, of its own people here, folks? I mean, this is the whole stupidity behind this. That we even went into Ukraine to support their government while they're bombing their own people is a international problem. Foreign governments are not allowed to, well, they can do nothing because they're sovereign, but they're really not allowed to watch while oppression happens, overt oppression like this happens to people. And so I don't hear that much talked about this point, but so I would think that the United States, if it was going to be humanitarian, that's what it would have done. It's going to help the Donetsk people stop being attacked by their own people for, make sure that they work it out. And Russia's watching because they have different geopolitical things going on. We could have done that before, but we didn't. We went in and we interfered with their so-called democracy, and it was better democracy than our overthrowing Maidan in 2014. And we would have had a better position, the United States actually doing humanitarian aid instead of ammunition and weapons to allow Russia to enforce its agreement with NATO, that NATO would not move one inch to the east. Remember? That was the agreement. And this is a Russia's gripe, is that the West does never agree to follow through on its agreements. They make an agreement, and then they break it. That finally ripped. It finally tore, and then we saw the so-called multipolar movement, which I'm showing you is not such a movement at all. It's another cover to move something else. But you know, what have I said here? You know, NATO and these decisions are not going the humanitarian route. No different than they should not have used the dollar bill as a political weapon. They shouldn't use U.S. aid as a covert way to get the CIA into places and other things, like Peace Corps. But what have I said about the Blinken idiots? Is Dmitry Medvedev listening behind the woodshed, folks? Western idiots want World War III, says the ex-Russian president Medvedev. The conflict in Ukraine may lead to World War III because of the idiots occupying leading roles in the West, former Russian President Dmitry Medvedev has warned. Medvedev, who currently serves as the deputy head of Russia's Security Council, was responding to statements from London and Berlin in the previous day. And again, the idiots, the statements coming out of their mouth, I just wonder, really, it's got to be jab harm, folks, but I don't want to give them that excuse. This is really a planned setup before the jab, okay, so they're being called out for the idiots. I've called them out. Antony Blinken, idiot. They have nothing about representing the people on their mind. We're seeing the blowback a bit coming, no different than Biden having to suspend 26 regulations or laws in order to now go back and build the wall, which is just supposed to slow down the immigration problem and let the United States agency have an immigration agency have a chance to look at people to make sure they're not going to cause trouble on the inside of the cell. The inside of the country, not rewrite our DNA like their political DNA they're trying to do. All these people coming in by the Democrats are obvious. We've seen it in the historical reason is to alter the electoral process. It's essentially election tampering, for what I can tell. It's not to not let these folks in. It's to not let them overrun. And then who knows what they end up doing. And I don't want to go through all the stories I hear how terrible those people have no scruples. They're given all the benefits. They're not, veterans are not given. People are not given in the United States. And they have run roughshod, and they're hard to catch and find, and they don't care anyway, those that will. And that's not to say that all the people coming over don't need help and aren't looking for a better way of life. There's a lot of them by the majority. But you're supposed to filter out those that are going to do your country harm. That's just the way that works. No different than a cell in your body does the very same thing. That's why the cell wall exists. It lets certain things in, and it excludes certain things, and it has defensive capacities. Even when there's somebody come, something come in the cell, it has a defensive capacity. And then the Clovis Swindle showed us that there's a technology that you can trick the insides from defending itself and actually make more of the invasive poison and problem. And so we got an example in nature in the recent Clovis Swindle about why you protect yourselves. If you say a wall, that's your country. It's not a matter of exclusion. It's a matter of protection. And just orderly protection, an orderly assimilation, to stay away from what's going on in New York, where they're getting overwhelmed. So as we go through, and we've been explained by the Russians, have been pretty straight up. In fact, I get most of my links now from RT, and I found out that Hillary Clinton says we're promoting Putin. Well, that's not true, but okay, fine. I don't support Hillary Clinton or anything that she's ever done, and I don't really like her. I don't like her voice. I don't like much of anything she comes up with. I don't like her spirit. I don't like the way she looks, and I don't like the way that the spirit that comes through her that she looks. And so if she doesn't think that what I'm doing here is any good, fine. You're going to have to take a more better discernment to listen behind the woodshed, and longer than just a few minutes. As I try to pull this stuff together, it's not about the politics. It's not about being someone telling you the news. It's about looking at the principles underlying how the world works and bring that home to you so that we can re-educate ourselves. The government doesn't re-educate us. We re-educate, like Hillary Clinton wants MAGA to be re-educated. Well, no, you do it yourself. You don't get lost in all that cultish stuff. It might be true that that's a cultish thing. You don't do it for those reasons. You may agree with somebody because of the principles that they're bringing forward. And, but we try to stay at least there with a moral foundation to bring that forward on top of that. But so we listen here to the Russians. They are the ones that are on the lead of this. You're not going to listen to an enemy if you think it's an enemy? No. See, this is a total whitewash of the problem. But I'll listen to Putin because he's telling us what he's there for, and he's the guy making the decisions. So, and we see, as the next tab here shows us, as Putin explains, it's Western prosperity based on a worldwide pillage. And so just take that title from this account and think about what the United States does. Just look at Syria really quickly. Went and overtook the north of Syria, took all the oil, and is doing war crime to steal the oil in Syria, and not having any right to that or to be on the country. That's pillage. That's plunder as well. That's war crime as well. And yet the United States does it, and the UN is hopeless and helpless, and the world is helpless and hopeless about that. Well, we shouldn't. And the people shouldn't agree to it. But Western prosperity is based on a worldwide pillage. After the end of the Cold War, he says, the collective West, led by the United States, has been striving to establish and maintain a global hegemony, Putin noted, adding that such efforts were bound to fail from the beginning. The world is too complex and too diverse to be shaped under a single scheme, even if behind it lies the power, the enormous power of the West, accumulated over centuries of colonialism. The ongoing global crisis is primarily a result of the self-confidence exhibited by the collective West and its refusal to take into account and even to hear the position of an international actors, Putin stated. At the beginning of the 21st century, there was a hope that, quote, states and peoples had learned lessons from the costly, destructive military ideological confrontation of the last century, but it proved not to be the case, Putin noted. Selfishness, conceit, and disregard for real challenges will inevitably lead us to the dead end, as well as to the attempt of the stronger to impose their own ideas and interests on others. This should have become obvious to everyone. It should have, but it turned out that it was not the case, the president said. So, to understand what he's saying here as well, did you catch where the human resources used by others? In this speech that he talks about human resources. That's each nation using their own people as the exploitable natural resource. The U.S. is not an exception to that, as we see here, the Fed raising interest rates to eliminate those human resources, wage slave jobs. And so I'm not here to tell you that I promote what Putin's saying. I'm saying that's what he's saying. That's what he sees. History will prove him true. And he's telling us a truth that what you are, my listener, is a human resource for a government that's in the United States too. This is nations across the world. And another thing I've been telling you and showing you, I do not agree where they're going with all this. He's speaking to sustainability. You've got to look very careful about how he does it. Each nation, you are a human resource. That's all. You're just an accounting number on how to be exploited. And again, your equal rights are to pay exactions of every kind and taxes, extraction from you. The needs that you have are used to keep you enslaved. You have to understand that's the dynamic. How we escape that is very difficult because they are good at what we need. Well, I've told you, if you can reduce your needs for a time, and hopefully everybody at once, and for a long enough time, it's like a boycott, even from the government. It'll starve it. And then you try alternatives. You do your alternatives. You starve it because it's wired a certain way. So we want to pay attention to what he said. Putin says he's telling us things. And if we want to, please use that as the carnival mirror about the United States doing that to you. You'll see you already live in an open-air prison, and you'll start to see it in the words of the news, what I call the notice. It's all notice to us. These people, ruler of a country is not a slouch, I'll tell you that. I wish we had held to the principles that he's exhibiting at this point, though I don't agree with where that country has gone, and where I don't agree that where they're going, and I can see whether he sees it. I can't see that he doesn't see this. I can't see how they don't see the next step. The thing that they talk about that they're trying to make different, make everybody equal, is not, he doesn't see it's making equal to the very same people that are using you as a human resource above the nation state, if I can use that for the UN side, above the nation's human resources. The nation is irrelevant to these other people that he's supporting. I don't know whether in consent by doing it, he knows he's a WEF, member, or if he just looks at this as what he needs to do, and it's the best idea to bring everything together. There is that, and they've done a very good job of making it look like, but it's a trap. I would really be disappointed to not know. I'd rather know that he knew, and his people just followed like all Americans will, and all the Indian people will, and all everyone else everywhere else is going to do, than to find out these folks didn't know. And they walked themselves into this trap that I've been explaining. It sits right here to see it. I don't know why that's a probably good. As Putin is saying, well, I don't know why anybody else hadn't seen this. That's what I'm saying about Putin. You have to be meaning this, Earl. Why? How did you not see that you're walking your whole country into a future trap? And then you've got everybody else that's lesser than you in the trap, and they can't get out, but you can fight your way out because you're intelligent country. Look at what they're doing on the weapons side of this in preparation against the United States to hold it off. And no, I'm not an advocate that says that Putin's going to be the first strike guy. So I may be wrong on that, but I just don't see it out of them. There's nothing that they're doing at this point. But to hear all this about the nuclear and all this other stuff and all this machinations of the United States, we see that the United States now admits that Iran is not seeking nukes. In other words, we'll attack as the United States anything that advances the political agenda like Ukraine. They've been hitting on Iran, and likely because of the poodle dog Israel, the Zionists, yapping at the heels, not so small anymore. It's quite the vicious beast, even if it's a small territorial size. It's got its fingers everywhere as a new ruling came out. I talked about before the journalists not being accepted. But here we have, despite the U.S. admitting Iran is not seeking the nukes, they still will make airs against the country. While U.S. politicians continue to capitalize on Iran's exaggerated nuclear threat for domestic political gains, the U.S. State Department set the record straight on Iran's nuclear program. It said it is assessed that Iran is not pursuing the nuclear weapons program at this time. The Pentagon assessment came in the report dubbed Strategic for Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction, which also addressed other countries possessing nuclear programs. Was Israel in that list? I didn't get the report, but. So here we have a country that, again, it's just a two-faced, it's a Janus face, it's a hypocrite. It will seek to destroy a country. It'll claim that it has things like, it will claim you are doing things like with its FBI and NSA and all these things. It'll say that you're doing nuclear weapons in that level, and then they know that you don't. said so. We can see this report. You get the link. Read it from Mehar News. As I read it, I just read it, little bits and pieces of these things just to put it on the radar for us. That our country, United States of America, is not the white hat country. And they know better. And this is the thing that's very important. Like, okay, are you an idiot or are you doing this on purpose? It's kind of important, really important to figure that out one way or the other. NATO, meanwhile, with all this threat of nuclear we hear, and things going on and the war drum, and to try and get the people, the will of the people, the political will of the people to support the corruption of the government itself. NATO, meanwhile, has published an article by retired American defense official Gregory Weaver, who called on the West to embrace nuclear war and prepare to fight and win a limited nuclear conflict against Russia. Let me just interject. If you attack, any of you, my listener, you attack Russia, it will not be limited. There's none. You can't stop that. It will not be limited. And so let's take that into stock right here, what this idiot, another idiot here is talking. The former nuclear and missile defense advisor for the Joint Chiefs of Staff also suggested the United States should move more deep precision strike capabilities to Europe and boost its nuclear capabilities on the continent, while NATO should form, quote, several modern armored divisions in the Baltic states and Eastern Europe. Let me offer a little interjection there. Just look around, folks. They have no capacity to make this armor. Russians have a much better capacity, and their armor is actually better under test. We're finding out that the theories that the United States had to fight wars is not adequate. In fact, I think the new report came out, the Abrams tank will be out. It will not be functional at 2040 to show you how far behind. And Russia just came out with a couple more new weapons. But there's no defenses at this point to it. And the United States government is saying so. So all these people talk and rattle the sabers, and they're idiots. They're literal idiots because of the type of thing they're talking about. And we will be blessed that Putin is not the tyrant, the despot, the criminal mind that everyone in the West claims that he is. Speaking at the UN General Assembly, in New York last month, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov warned that the Western leaders have become so obsessed with inflicting a strategic defeat on Russia that they have lost their sense of self-preservation. This is your Democrats in wanting to have supply the funds to Ukraine as a revenge, folks. This revenge appropriation is going to get people killed if we're not careful, or if Russia just loses its patience. And they won't care that the finger is pointing at them that they caused it. Because they will be at that point, they will have thought their country is going to die, and they're not going to let that happen, or no one's going to have that country when it gets done. However, we go on in the story here, the little report. Despite all this, the nuclear war won't happen, says Russian Supreme Shaman of Russia, Taraul Dobchun-U, or that Ukraine's leaders are prolonging the war by force, asking for money and weapons from other countries. If the Ukrainian people understand that Zelensky is the enemy of the Ukraine people, if there is a choice to remove him next year and a new person comes, everything will stop, the shaman predicted. Everything will stop, folks, if the United States stops giving aid and weapons. It stops. There's nothing there for Ukraine to use. And if you look in the news, it's all there. The answer is there. That it continues shows you we got an evil mind in the world, an evil spirit in the world. And that reflects upon the United States people, even though we hear Russia, Putin, does not think badly of the people. No, not a lot of countries don't think badly of the people. They're just wondering, where have we been? Where are we in the face of all this obviousness? The shaman added that peace and friendship is always necessary, and that Russia and Ukrainians, whom he described as brotherly people, should better understand each other and develop better ties because, quote, the people of the world are waiting, close quote. And this is an interesting thing. These are Slavic people. However they want to change in me, this is like a civil war, if you will. If it was raised to a war, it'd be like a civil war there, and they need to work that out. There was no authority in international law for the West to even encroach one more inch, was there? So this should have been worked out. The United States and all the countries should have been working to try and bring the peace to this area, and when the two agreed to a peace, they should have embraced it, not fought, not the West saying no. So the shaman says, we must end the war as soon as possible. We must look for a way out. Yeah, let's look for a way out. A good sentiment to my mind. We don't need to be fighting. We certainly don't need revenge appropriations for the United States. We don't need the government interfering with other people's governments. Oh, and talk about these alerts and everything and the nuclear threat, and the shaman come out, well, we're not going to have a really a war. We need to have peace. It doesn't mean we're not going to have that nuclear war, but good to hear the spiritual side of Russia is saying no as well. And so that there's a little bit of support for that. But how did your October 4th national emergency test go, folks? Anyone escape it? Did you get a sense of what it's like to being an inextricable part of the new world digital hive Borg? How's that, folks? That was cool, huh? And did you know, a fun fact, 60 years ago, on October 4th, 1957, Sputnik, the first man-made object, was launched into low Earth orbit by the USSR. Did you know that? On that same day, folks. That same day. Did you know? Russia also, even after they supposedly had this nuclear drill, they also ran an emergency test, apparently, warning their people the same day, October 4th, 2023. How's that? Coincidence without a meaning? That's the question. I don't know. Pretty interesting. Speaking of hive Borgs, did we also just witness another Nazi fail? Israel's envoy to Ukraine pulls ill-timed song stunt. Well, what's Israel, the Jews, doing in Ukraine? On the Jewish, the Nazi side, folks, is again an extension from what I was talking about last week. Did it stop making sense for you last week when you heard the broadcast and all this information? And there's just gobs and gobs more to read about this hypocrisy that's in the world. A Telegram post, since deleted, by the Israeli diplomat Michael Brodsky, showed two servicewomen in the Israeli Defense Forces singing the Ukraine song Trivona Kalina. I'll just leave it there. There's a little bit longer name. The folk song that two young fair-haired women, likely repatriates from Ukraine, serving with Tzal, that's a Hebrew language acronym for Israel's national military, crooning is closely associated with the organization of Ukrainian nationalists. The organization activities are prohibited by the Russian Federation. The Ukraine nationalists are the old Nazi party, the OUN. And so the notorious fascist militant formation known as the Ukraine's Insurgent Army, Ukrainian acronym UPA, was created in the 1930s as the paramilitary wing of the fascist organization of Ukrainian nationalists, OUN. The UPA was responsible for killings of hundreds of thousands of civilians in Nazi-occupied Western Ukraine, among them ethnic Poles, Jews, Russians, and anti-fascist Ukrainians. After Kanukistan's embarrassing Nazi stunt, the video that apparently tugged at the heartstrings of the Israeli envoy gives one pause, asking the question, how is it possible to possess so short a memory, and how such blatant disrespect to the victims of the Holocaust, crimes that the UPA had a hand in perpetrating? Here, the answer here to this question is really that the Israeli diplomat is a Zionist, not a Jew. And I do make a distinction. Some people don't. And I just give them I give people space. I hope the Jews don't think themselves Zionists, because I also see historically, and I've read you the reports, that the Jews, as a religious belief and a custom and culture, were used by Zionists during the Nazi period. And Zionists are still working. It's a political movement. So the answer to this conundrum is that the Israeli diplomat, all these governmental diplomats and people are Zionists. They're not Jews. The chosen people which took advantage of those without discernment. Among the many Jews are not exceptional. See, this is a failure of people generally, even if you're so-called chosen. And I want to go back to the thing. Notice what they talk about here. Among them, it's my main criticism of all these things that people, certain cultures, want to grab their part and make them the victim, the big victim. No different than the Jews do the Holocaust, I guess it's better pronounced, the Japanese did in their internment camp thing. And both of the war, and that war violated many types of peoples. You heard a little bit of list among them. Go back to this. Among them, ethnic Poles, Russians, and anti-fascist Ukrainians. It just wasn't the Jews that died during the fascist cults. Okay? So this is we start to show mankind, womankind, it is destroyed generally. No one has a bigger badge to put on their chest to say they were the more victim. And so, and the Russians, in this case, fighting for their country through 26 million, not just 6 million, 26 million at the problem to stop it. And they didn't stop it. It's fomented all these years since then, and Putin's going to end it in Ukraine. Denazify is what they say. And he gets criticized for it. And there was no reason for it. Remember, there was no reason for this. All they had to do was understand the borders, and the Ukrainian government stopped killing Ukrainian people because they spoke Russian and aligned more with Russia, which upon the border. When they're all, apparently, as I understand this, all of those folks are considered Slavic as brothers, if you will. That's just another, I just don't get it. I just don't get that whole point then. The only thing I go back to is Cain versus Abel, and when Cain could kill Abel, brother kill brother, there it is. That's the model. When I saw that when I was a little bit younger, decades ago, I said, wow, we're in a real bad way. When brother can kill brother, that's pretty sad, and it's pretty detrimental. And so this is what we see, repeating itself over and over and over. As victimized by Zionist Jews, though, here, are not innocent as the Zionist cover-up for them on a different atrocity that hit the news as well. The Zionist Netanyahu reacts to Jews spitting on Christian pilgrims. This story has been going on now for quite a few months. I think it's disgusting. I don't like talking about it too much, but now it comes out even more to the point that Netanyahu has to react to the Jews claiming about being a right to spit on Christian pilgrims. The Israeli leader has vowed to protect people of all faiths from abuse. Well, that's a political statement, because he's allowed this other thing to happen. That's been festering. If you listen carefully to what they're talking about, this has been a forever-termed idea that they get to do this to people. So, though Netanyahu did not mention any particular incident, the statement came after a video surfaced online showing ultra-Orthodox Jews. These are the Jews, the ultra-Orthodox, that you would think were fighting the Zionists, folks. So, I mean, again, it stops making sense really quickly, including children, spitting on children, spitting on Christians in Jerusalem's old city earlier this week. The episode took place during celebrations for the Jewish holiday of Sukkot, as well as the Feast of Tabernacles, a yearly religious event that draws Christian pilgrims to Israel. If you look carefully at what the story is, Netanyahu talks about protect people of all faiths from abuse. I'll remind you, the recent Palestinian mosque invasion by the Zionists, but desecrating the Al-Aqsa Mosque, apart that thing he wants to say they're doing, they're protecting, that's a Netanyahu lie. They're not doing that at all. They're allowing the desecration of religious sites. While the video quickly, they were talking about here, the video quickly sparked controversy on Orthodox activists and former spokesman Israel's hard right Otzman Yehudit party. Elisha Yared defended the practice of spitting near churches and monasteries. And listen very carefully, he doesn't say they spit on people, but they do. And this is the thing about how you split this the story, you reframe it, that is spitting near churches and monasteries. I've seen videos, they don't just spit near monasteries, they spit on people. Disgusting. Just generally disgusting. It doesn't have to be religious, correct? I mean, I don't even know why this is a... Why would this even be an issue? But there it is. But calling it an ancient Jewish tradition. In other words, Netanyahu lied again. He knows it's an ancient Jewish tradition. Well, unless he's not Jewish, folks. Oh, interesting. Well, let's leave this conundrum. Ancient Jewish tradition. It is it? Well, think back on what happened. The Bible tells us what the Jews did to a Christian. And so, maybe it's not so far-fetched, but Abel, is it still make it right? Well, no, it doesn't. But he's going to defend the practice. He added that we have forgotten what Christianity is, quote, going on the reference of a number of historic atrocities carried out against the Jews. That's an interesting rationale. National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir also condemned the spitting of the Christians, but argued that it's not a criminal case. Let me go back to the other paragraph. If Christianity is forgotten by the Orthodox Jew, how do they remember to spit on Christians and establishments made by Christians? If they've forgotten, how is it a tradition? The first exposure of the lie. It's also assault, folks. I don't know about Netanyahu, and now a potential life-threatening act, you know, if he's getting spit on with the bioweapon jab byproducts and the people or to the environment. If he allows this, they want to say it's not a criminal act. That was the most locked-down state relative to the COVID pathogen, supposedly. There is, and they're allowing spitting on people. It's not a criminal act. If it's not a criminal act, then assault is not a criminal act, and you can see that they're giving themselves license to hurt people. It's not a group of people I want to be around, anyway. It's not a nation. It's not a state of civilized people, either. So, I mean, is it really so innocent, the tradition to protect after Kobe swindle, when you could be spitting some poison out of your mouth now with the jabs? And again, these people are jabbed. Also, have you heard about the, if we move this thing on for the people or the environment that they're trying to protect, have any of you heard about the COVID communicable disease surge spreading through the population with the flooding on the part of New York? Have we heard of a surge there with all that flooding and disease water? Yeah, me neither. Haven't heard of any of it. Well, let's move on. Because, listen, if the pathogens are there, they're going to be identified. And so, more ways to kind of look around and say this whole thing is just something to not be believed, and anybody talking to you about it is either stupid, insane, or a criminal. And they may be in public office and look important, but they're still a criminal. So we find a little bit about being able to identify these pathogens, Ukrainian bringing treatment-resistant infections to the Western Europe, says a health agency. Bacterial infections picked up on the battlefield are showing up in European hospitals, the U.S. CDC reported. We don't hear it from the European hospital, no, we hear it from the CDC. They're involved, folks. And I wonder why they're looking so close about that. German researchers found that some of these infections have been found in wounds of the Ukrainian fighters in the Donbas region since 2014. What all happened in 2014 besides the overthrow of Maidan? Wow, since 2014. And had likely developed in Ukrainian hospitals. Likely? Really? With all the biolabs in Ukraine? Since 2014? An area that the Ukraine government was attacking its own people who favored and spoke Russian and liked the Russian culture just a little bit better. It screams biolabs to me about you, folks. Speaking of biolabs, if those soldiers were brought into America care, maybe they may not be happening too soon to get that care as we start seeing the response they want to blame on the COVID swindle. Very interesting insights start to come out of these things that go on. So they find it on the battlefield, unique, resistant pathogens. It still happens that we have biolabs all over the place just since 2014. Very interesting, the correlations of all this. The coalition of Kaiser Permanente unions, a group of representing 75,000 staff across multiple states, announced that they failed to reach a deal with the medical giant on Saturday, meaning that on 11:59 p.m. local time, employees are working under an expired contract, and it's not replaced by Wednesday. The coalition of unions is promising a walkout, and I think that time is done. The workers are really being squeezed, though. We read here, right now, said Renee Zaldana, a spokesperson for one of the 8 constituent unions of the coalition. They went through the worst global health crisis in a generation, and that they come out and they're worried about paying rent. They're worried about losing their house. They're worried about living in their cars. Okay, so the price is going to go up, and like you just heard, the UPS drivers are going to get like real raises. I'm not saying they may not deserve it, but look at what's going on to the cost of stuff. Watch the price of an aspirin charged at a hospital after this goes on, and they get the raises that they need. I can't see how that they're having trouble since they were the only ones really working, weren't they? So Bidenomics, here we identify as feeblenomics. It's not about what they say. It's about what they set us up for the takedown for. They're hurting people. Now the hospital has a chance to try and get some money back and get their wage raises. The companies are going down because they accepted that COVID swindle money, and it wasn't a grant. It was a loan for most part. And so we're seeing underneath the skin of the things all falling apart. This article goes on, the biggest ever U.S. healthcare strike begins, 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers walk out after weeks of slowing, degrading contract negotiation. Tens of thousands of workers at healthcare giant Permanente went on strike, and all the professional frontline healthcare workers suffered the highest death rate during the COVID-19 pandemic, according to the data from the U.S. Centers of Disease Control and Prevention, followed closely by food service workers. Both groups were dubbed essential workers during the social lockdowns that predated the advent of the SARS-CoV-2 vaccines and were exempted from the restrictions to help kept millions at home in an effort to slow down the spread of the virus. However, those deaths and those happenings didn't happen until after the jab. And so let's keep that one in order. But they blame it all on this COVID swindle. these healthcare workers were taking the biggest hits. I thought it was the old folks that originally, but at any rate. But yeah, so here, an interesting little piece of information. Some of you have some time and think that this is important to track down, especially those people that will not respond to me may want to look at the data here to see exactly the truth of all this. Using the Covey swindle, as we said early on, that would be used all the way into the future to try and get more and more and more to actually cover up the economic destruction that it was helping to cover in the reset. Right? This is an economic reset. So it wasn't these essential workers the highest jab rate workers. In fact, you couldn't go to work. Remember the Houston case I reported on? You got kicked out. You lost your job. And now we have workers are being acknowledged to be dying like flies. All this sounds like a self-inflicted wound to me. And I tell you that because the local communicable disease law would not have allowed it. However, the strike and care is the Ukrainian battlefield. If they come to the United States, they may not get care. Like you, well, my listener, may not get care as these strikes go on. And there's more and more strikes. I hear now, I think in the UK, the maritime people are striking as well. There's not going to be shipping goods going on until that gets done. So more austerity coming, lack of, you may have money, but you're not going to have anything to buy as then they increase the devalue of the money. You're not going to have any money, enough money to buy it when it finally comes in. Why no one is scared of new COVID variants? However, benevolent their goals, here we have a new continuing information here, Western governments have ruined the public's trust with their attempt to narrative control. Again, the trust, the public trust, the public will is all important. And as long as you continue, your silence continues the public trust and or your consent to it. It's the only one you can become that squeakiness in the wheel or being ground, you're being ground inside it that they'll consider stopping. And then enough of you, you threaten that the wheel will fall off. They don't want that. They don't want to be called out for being the cause of all. So Western governments have no longer have the political ill will or interest to dare make unpopular decisions, even if some are sounding the alarm. Again, the political will is all important to develop, and they get that from you, the people that are either quiet or don't say no in a proper way, not just say no and just be contrarian. You have your reasons. So I read this thing. It's interesting, but I think it's a pump piece. It's kind of agreeing that the underlying condition was okay, because then Western governments no longer have the political will or interest to dare make the unpopular decisions, even if some of them are sounding alarm, is not so, because they keep promoting it, don't they? But be careful here not to be lulled by the Covey swindle into unthinking and uncaring that we see that there's resistance that I've mentioned about the real pandemic that might be there, or a natural one that they haven't told us about that sits there that they can then spread around. I mentioned that way early on years ago when I started the Operation Hindsight 2020 discussion about the military martial law, that this thing was coming before March. And I talked about the needle in the haystack of noise. Be careful not to get lulled by this. It says, oh, the governments are stepping back or they're going to do anything. There could, I don't see how another thing doesn't show up, and it could be looking real. It'll still be a setup. It'll still be a synthetic real, but people will be bleeding. They're talking about Ebola, folks. That's bleeding. Let's just look for that. They may be looking like they can blame it on something, but it's actually been it's a synthetic poisoning, if you will. It may be prepared by the people that already got the jab, as I've told you before. I pointed out the dragonfly being prepared to receive command package to tell it how to fly, to fly, and to override its functions. That's what these jabs certainly could have been doing. And then we have, I told you, binary and trinary weaponry. That's what I've been telling you that could be happening. And it could be just selective. Who knows? I mean, this national alert, I don't think that's what haven't heard any reports on it. Something like that is too obvious. I wouldn't necessarily look at that. The technology you have is already in your hands. And they can, they have different ways to make different frequencies. They got a couple of antennas. That could be your dual antenna system. They can pinpoint that those two systems on top of the third one that comes from the tower and the fourth one for 5G. That they have lots of ways to make pinpointing with arrays. And so they could have a lot of information that can come in certain frequencies to fire up certain things on a nano level, I guess I should say, and cellular level. And so all this technology sits right there to do this. So it would, and then people would respond. Their body systems would respond as if they've been have the pathogen that the government would then promote. And if it's one, all of a sudden now we have dengue fever showing up. It could be Ebola. Then you don't, and when then people start bleeding, you won't have a way to test that out. And so it's still synthetic, but it's real, and you can't get away from it. And so be careful on being lulled by these little stories here. Like I said, this was a pump piece when I read through it. It was interesting. They are making acknowledgments, but it also speaks to trying to acknowledge that what the government did was there for a purpose. And I'm wary that it's not a setup again. And the best of us discerning, the best of us discerning well, are going to be hard pressed to identify maybe the next one, because it's going to look real. And yet we won't, because it's magic. They're invisible switches are being turned on from prior preparation in people. As I've talked about this for years, but binary and trinary weaponry. And so I don't want to, no fear, just if the next thing comes, it's going to be very, very difficult to identify. But yet we are going to have to identify. All this is about population control. And we can see the writing on the wall, the inventions and novelties that come through patents. That's the ones we see, folks. The United States government can hide lots of others that we don't see. Those are built right into the patent law. But population control through bioweaponry gets the political nod here in this story. COVID vaccine scientists win Nobel Prize. The mRNA technology provided a method to fight, quote, one of the greatest threats to human health in modern times, the committee said. The laureates contributed to the unprecedented rate of vaccine development during one of the greatest threats to human health in modern times, the committee said. Again, keep pressing it. In fact, they did nothing, if you notice. It wasn't vaccines, and they did nothing like of the sort. What do I say? What do I guide behind the woodshed? No, nothing. He just reads the communicable disease law, and it says the vaccine is something that is put up against an identified infectious agent, and it stops the transmission of that agent. The government admitted that never happened. These were never vaccines. So this mRNA technology is not a vaccine. It can't happen. That's how simple that was. Traditional vaccine technology uses dead or weakened samples from a source bacterium. That was the other problem. Remember, it takes an organic substance that you're going to do something to stop that substance. Yeah, there was nothing like this in this jab. It was a novel chemical agent. It was a lipid structure that they used to target people, load them up, rewrite their DNA on the RNA side, and let the body do the rest. And so we're going on here. It kind of irritates me just to read this. The Nobel Peace Prize is a political prize. The traditional vaccine technology uses dead or weakened samples from the source bacterium or virus to prepare a person's immune system to recognize and attack threats. The mRNA, by comparison, prompts cells to make a protein based on the single strand of genetic code, admitting these are not vaccines because what it is an instruction set to make genetic code, which is actually proteins. They admit it's not a vaccine in that statement, and the Nobel laureate is announced by this the Nobel organization. These are criminals, but anyway, just so irritating to watch this stuff. And we buy it up as a population. These are Nobel political prizes, and these people are not too bright or observant. And I'll say it again, as a matter of communicable disease law, there is no vax relative to this technology or what they put on everybody. I've been saying this forever and proved it by the law. All you got to do is apply that. It tells you exactly how to do it. Only a few steps. And this political prize, not peace prize, it's political prize, no different than giving the drone King Obama. He's a U.S. president who extrajudicially killed American citizens with drones. They gave him the Peace Prize. This is strictly a political prize. And we're being pumped again to accept that what's going on is real, what it does, what they claimed. Well, we could be quiet or call it out. Being quiet is not going to do much. But we also understand this is a foreign encroachment, a foreign mind control, a foreign promotion that tries to set us up for the takedown. And I'm disappointed a bit on our response, and it's going to be much more difficult next time, I suspect. If I just put those two, the fact, let's say Ebola, let's just say that the jab did set up the bleeding part. And then they set up, and they also set up an instruction to receive a frequency or two, or whatever, a condition, and an instruction string. They can even do that. So it's directable. You can direct it to people. Though they only turn on at certain times by certain coding. All of a sudden, somebody starts to bleed. Their body starts to go and do as if that, well, that it's generated. The protein that causes it is generated. Just like a venom, like I talked about before. We will not be able to know. If the government says that's caused by a mosquito, you will have no proof that it's not. And we still have to decide for ourselves how to protect ourselves from that. What if it is a mosquito? We don't know. And so, well, weather will help us. But anyway, so they're going to make it, and that's just a quick example. There could be more complicated ones as far as how the transmission might be. I don't want to get too lost in it. It's going to be very serious if they bring on the next one, though. They can't make it obvious to us like what they just did, because we already see it now. Those of us that could see it already saw it coming. Those of us that learned about it late, got the jab or were confused at the beginning, but learned right after, those are there too. You're always going to have the outlier deniers that are denying that they're being attacked. The government wouldn't do that to them. The technology is there, and the military has got the contract. We've got the contract to the military doing it. So I don't know what more to say. If they're involved again, they're using magic technology, because you just can't see stuff. You can't see microwaves. You can't see these energy fields. You can't see the interaction between all that. You don't understand whether or not your LED lights are pulsing that data to you or not. You can't see it. You can't sense it. Your body's not made to see all that. It can come in any number of ways. So I'm not going to get, again, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know that they're going to make it a lot more sophisticated if it's not a real thing. And then we have to really be careful, because if it's a real thing, it can get out of hand and they don't have any control. But it could be another synthetic thing that looks really real, and we don't have the tests or the proofs. We don't have the technology to show it up. It's going to be very difficult as people are bleeding or dying around us for whatever the darn thing is. And so these people are, again, the non-observant, unintelligent Nobel Peace Prize, the political prize, speaking of morons here, moving on, punishing those supplying the raw materials needs that don't agree with your agenda. We see happening in the EU again, the political foreign stuff going on, people that are deemed to be authorities handing prizes to people, big bucks behind the Nobel Prizes, politically motivated. You see Brussels to impose CO2 emissions tariffs on carbon-intensive imports, including steel and cement. So the European Union is going to stifle your infrastructure, your structural life in Europe over this fraud called CO2 emissions and global climate change. Which, again, climate change is not about the weather. The EU launched the first phase of emissions tariffs scheme on Sunday, but with a planned import tax on steel, aluminum, cement, and fertilizers as part of its bid to become climate neutral in the region. So here we have, they're taking away the ability to build your society on this fraud. I think it's time to start taking back all those carbon emissions substances from Brussels. I think we need to take away everything they use that they're putting tariffs on, to show them that they can't function without these things. Those of you in Brussels, go and find and just say, okay, you want to make tariffs. You didn't pay enough for the computer use. You didn't pay enough for the concrete now that you've now taxed in your buildings, your carpets, your chairs, your coffee machine, your coffee. You don't get any of this stuff. If you're going to keep it, cars us more money, you don't get any of it. Let's see how far Brussels, so-called, quote, Brussels, does with this. Let's see when they're done, see about what they can do. They'll be left with a pounding sand or something, because that's all that's going to be left to them when you understand what they're trying to do to people. They have nothing when you get rid of these taxes, when you put these taxes and you make the imports more expensive and you're not creating it yourself. Your life goes up in cost. All your things go up in cost. But what you're not looking at is the people are denying that they use those things. And they haven't really paid for them then if they're a detriment to society. So go in and take them away. These have nothing to do to work. They're not going to work. They are nothing more than extortions for the things that they benefit from. I don't understand what the question continues to be that people keep accepting this. So they should be leading by example, Brussels. You morons. Right, Dimitri? Remember, taxation is extortion. Equal rights in America, 42 U.S.C. 1981. These idiots are, you're looking at them taking, causing the cost to increase so high on your basic staples of infrastructure in your society. You have to be a moron to do this, or you're a criminal. You're a criminal insanity. You have a criminal insanity. Neither one needs to be in a position of discussion and decision. And more on that, Canada quietly lets companies circumvent sanctions to import Russian goods, including vodka. Over the same period, Kanukistan imported some $47 million Canadian, $32 million U.S. worth of Russian goods, including equipment used in the construction and prospecting, such as iron and steel tubes, as well as $17 million luxury goods, such as fresh seafood products and the vodka. Well, vodka is alcohol, right? And it is, has carbon in it, right? On the molecular formula, we should look at this. Chemical formula for alcohol is CH3CH2OH. Oh, yeah. Two carbons in every molecule. Gobs of carbon heating material. So Trudeau is importing carbon that he denies to everyone else to also fly his jet over to Davos to complain that there's too much carbon going on that he denies to you other than to bring in the things that he wants. Maybe he's Canadians, Kanukistanians. Maybe he's the cause of global warming that caused your wildfires, you think? Maybe we should look into that. Well, if you believe global climate change is about the weather, again. And then we keep moving relative to this whole subject matter and from another not infallible one who says the world is collapsing. The Pope, he's in on this too, as I've been talking about this forever. This is not the infallible one. They embrace this climate change, and this is not about the weather, and he wants to talk about the deniers, the people are deniers about this, those of us that don't agree with it. And I want to remind everybody, one of the answers would be, one arrests, not denies fraud, particularly in America. As the Pope makes a statement regarding that, he's particularly perturbed about America. Well, particularly in America, we would arrest that fraud. We should be arresting that fraud. Our representatives should be arresting it. They shouldn't put EPA on a pedestal and be one of the pillars of sustainable development. And so we should be, as American people, stopping the fraud against us. And we haven't. We haven't done it since the financial fraud of 2008 and the ongoing fiat. We haven't done it since Kobe swindle. We aren't going to do it to the next one. And likely we're not going to watch this one coming on and run us right on over. And that's what it does. It runs us over. And there are these people that are not infallible. They are the ones that cause you to be persecuted. And they are the persecutors, as I mentioned last broadcast. And being under the scrutiny of those not infallible is not unlike though one might believe it is similar to that Russell Brand's rape scandal moves to the next stage, but it's already too late for him as a story. This is very similar in how it's applied across all these methodologies. And I jump over to Russell Brand to show you there's a direct example of what they're doing to him is what they do to all of us. One, as the story goes on here, this report, one might ask, well, why is it supposedly liberal democratic society that purports to believe in free speech, the presumption of innocence, and the rule of law, politicians, mainstream media organizations, and large corporations so enthusiastically transgress these principles in order to destroy prominent targets like Brand? The answer to the question is obvious. So-called liberal democratic societies in the West are no longer liberal and democratic in any meaningful sense, and the elites that he writes here, that rule them are fundamentally opposed to liberal democratic values. Well, I said there's a higher organism working than there is amongst these political creatures. At the end of the day, he says here, however, the best that Brand can hope for is to successfully defend himself in any criminal proceedings that may be brought against him. But even if he does so, his reputation and career will be in tatters. It says here that he's through, he's done. And he's done on a mere allegation. Now I want you to consider yourself in the digital gulag that they're building, and they're going to get people to slowly move in. Maybe not my listener, but slowly they'll get to the population to agree. To consider this presumptive guilt in a digital gulag, and then someone or some AI thingy accuses you, merely suggests that you are in violation of your shared ESG or SDG obligations to the world, raping, as it were, Gaia. This is exampled in the Russell Brand problem. The lack of due process protections prior to conviction at this point is what the problem is. And this is going to come in automatically under in the digital gulag. Your whole life will be subject to this thing. It's already partly subject to it. You just don't see it at this point. It's not so obvious because we don't have that token yet that they can keep from us. So this sounds... sounds no different already, no different than the execution of the Great Reset through the Covey swindle. You keep looking at the model, it just keeps coming back through. So you compare the Covey swindle to this situation where you were presumed to be the infectious agent and you needed to do something before anybody looked at for the infectious agent and proved you were the principle of contagion. Is this problem? You're presumed guilty by persecutors that are not uninfallible, that are not infallible. They have faults. And that's why it's up to you to know the limits of it so you can put them back in their cage, not have them put you in your cage. You're presumed guilty, just like he is, without proof of the fact, despite the law to the contrary, which is the thing that got me. There's a real thing you could go and point to, the black and white, that said, hey, you can't go that way. And it's up to you to demand the due process, or it's not going to be handed to you. It's not going to be given to you. And that has to be done before the unilateral prejudicial conviction is upon you. And that's why I say make a record so you can stop that part. So this is back to the national alert. You get this, everyone in the world that had a phone or in the United States got this alert. I don't care what they had. I don't know of anybody that could escape it if they had a phone. I got people talking about it. But I don't. People must have got a sense that that's part of that global digital gulag hive Borg. No one escaped. No one's left behind. You cannot stay silent against that encroachment. And this is example. This is showing you evidence of the sort of impression that oppression that envelops the world that's coming. That's already basically here being tested. Did you escape that test? Consider the future, folks, on how this starts to work. It's already in China. We hear about it. We've reported here Sesame Social Credit System, the financial digital cage in India, in the Aadhaar system I just talked about last week. That next alert violating an ESG will be a national security concern, and the latest violators will be named and ordered shunned under the penalty of a further austerity in the digital gulag enforced by geofence surveillance. That's what the national security threat is. China has already declared it their threat to have people be violating their social compacts and contracts and that they've applied. And then you see Xi Jinping applying the sustainable goals. The next alert will be some alert, it'll be raised to a national security interest. You're not going to see it tomorrow. It's coming in the future. As we see, Google geofence warrants are increasing at an alarming rate. I need to read more. Just Google, right? Google has provided for some transparency concerning geofence warrants the company receives, and that's one of the most controversial ways U.S. law enforcement seeks to make U.S. big tech unprecedented access to personal private data. So this geofencing locates you. It locates you near to someone that's already a violator. It makes you a violator if you don't capitulate. And so this is already increasing before we even get there. And the government's in on it. The government drives that, right? They control all that. So it's not much you're going to escape either. As we then also see, eyeball scanning global digital ID system WorldCoin suggests using it for social welfare. They go after the most vulnerable. So you're protecting the women and children and those folks that need the help. No, they're going to now use it as a gateway to use Sam Altman's OpenAI, his WorldCoin. You got an eyeball or you got to look at to get your iris scan. He's going to now advocate and influence people, the decision makers, the lawmakers, to require you to use it in order to get the things you need through social benefits. See it? You can watch the writing on the wall. Just as I told you years ago, they would come in through those people that are in dire need of benefit, and they will use that to extort from them their big data that they need, their biometrics, and they will start the process that way. And if you don't want it, you don't want to do that, you will not get that stuff. You will not get any benefit in a country that's supposed to be embracing, the immigrant, right? No, they get all this stuff, not you, though. So this is all writing on the wall for us. It's all right here. Remember, the government behind it'll be a bureaucrat. It'll all be presumptive persecutors based on standards that are being developed and rewritten occasionally by other bureaucrats on fraud, on the lack of reality. And they just make that up in order to give them fear-based things, but it's also to give them some plausible use when no one thinks anymore and no one responds. And you think that there's going to be some protection. Well, there might be some protection when the government decides if you're good enough. We see this little story as this digital gulag moves itself in. It brings a condition to us. EU won't protect journalists from government spying. MEPs have left an opening for the use of spyware, which may lead to abuse, critics believe. The hope for a full ban on the use of spyware against journalists in the EU is dead, said MEPs backed watered-down media regulations that allow the authorities to infect phones in the name of national security, media freedom advocates claim. Just like I told you, they reduce everything to national security. The EU is already on it, and this is now going to eliminate the ban against utilizing this against the journalists, except there will be a provision that the journalists can be sanctioned by the government to be free from that, which means the government can determine what a journalist is. Well, I've been kind of advocating for you guys and you folks in the United States. Everyone's a member of the press, and you better start making that claim and figure out how you're going to do that, because this thing is going to continue to go, and we're seeing writing on the wall how this is all going to be constrained. Your digital gulag is being already written for you before you get there. This is how they do all the laws as well. Well, governments cracked down here on communist dominance and the misinformation, disinformation nonsense. Putin did it. We're going to have to really relook at this and ask, really, is this communist dominance that we're doing, or is this what the government is doing? Is this the communista dominance? Canada cracks down on streaming and podcasts. This is interesting a bit, how fast this is all turning. Critics accuse Trudeau government of trying to crush free speech with new regulations on online services. Kanukistan cracks down on streaming of these podcasts by the companies themselves, the ones you would go to the service for. The Canadian Radio, Television, and Telecommunications Commission announced new conditions for online streaming services broadcasting in the country. There's your answer, but keep going. According to the news release posted on Friday, the body is requiring content providers earning $10 million or more in an annual revenue to provide information about their activities and complete a registration form by November 28. How long we said registration is confiscation. Registration is talking about commerce connection, and in the registration process says that you are using that in a commerce way and essentially making income in this regard. And you are causing a detriment that you will have to pay us for to regulate you, so that you don't cause an extreme harm. That's what privileged use is, not rights. The regulatory plan is devised to ensure that the streaming services make, quote, meaningful contributions to Canadian Indigenous content, the CRTC said. Isn't that forced or compelled speech, folks? It is, isn't it? I think it is. And so the Kanukistan government doesn't care about free speech. The United States has a little provision. The Constitution says we can't be compelled to speak. There have already been cases about that. Now, I want to remind you, the sustainable way of your destruction is to also claim protections to the women, children, or the indigenous. Don't we hear that right here? The meaningful contributions to Canadians and indigenous content. And not to disparage the indigenous people. This is now making every podcast company streaming a pig access, essentially, that you are subject to the government and to put somebody else's, to force you to put someone else's information on, instead of just inviting them to come on and do it themselves. Without identifying that these streaming platforms ever obstructed the indigenous word or speech as well. This is the foreign entanglement of a non-governmental organization and foreign policies and goals, sustainable development, that are abhorrent to all free people, just all free people. I don't know what more to say about that part. It's just straight up. You don't have to go very far. And Trudeau's the leading edge of all that. If none of us knew more, you could just read it right in there. But this is still the unipolar world. No matter what Putin wants to talk about, where Lavrov or China, multipolar this and multipolar that, we hear again, it's going to go back to that singular world. And it's the so-called elite, the ones that run the people that you see make decisions are actually running this thing. Germany sticks to Chinese rival to World Bank. Berlin has announced plans to keep supporting the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, AIIB, a Chinese state-backed financial development lender. This comes in contrast to the G7 partner Canadians' move to freeze ties with the institution over concerns about Beijing's influence within it. In June, Lindner's Canadian counterpart, Chrystia Freeland, whose father, I think, was a Nazi, wasn't he? Yeah? Okay, so now we see what happened in Canada. Said that Ottawa has decided to freeze all ties with the financial institution until further government review. The move occurred during the claims of widespread, quote, communist dominance within the AIIB by a former Canadian top executive by the bank. Is this in favor of Nazi and Nazi socialism, I presume? To be against communist dominance? And don't you think that maybe the government-owned company that through your podcast is it communist dominance? Or just a government, tyrannical government that needs to be put in its place? But this is the wave of the future happening really quickly now. Really quickly. So speak of sustainable horrors, folks, and climate change. The one about politics, not the weather. The climate change, it's about politics, not the weather. You folks in Mexico are done for. Another Nobel political laureate coming to an office near you, if you choose. Meet Claudius Sheinbaum, the Nobel laureate set to become Mexico's first female president. If elected, Sheinbaum would also be the country's first Jewish president. Her fraternal grandparents hailed from Lithuania, while her mother's family came from Bulgaria, immigrating to Mexico in the 1940s during the Holocaust. While becoming the country's first female leader, her background would also make her unique. She's a Nobel Prize-winning scientist, folks. She's promoted this way. Who, before entering local government in Mexico City, was an engineering professor at the National Autonomous University of Mexico. I want you to think back what I've been saying about the university system in the United States. It's no different in Mexico. They mention that is a red flag right there, but let's move on as the story goes on. She followed the footprints of her parents, themselves both academics, by studying physics at the university, which is known as a locus of left-wing organizing in the country. Her Nobel Prize-winning research, conducted in 2007 with members of the UN's International Panel on Climate Change, focused on energy efficiency in buildings and transportation in Mexico. Well, if you haven't heard my broadcast talking about those subject matters, transportation in particular, you folks in Mexico are gonna, well, I don't know what I should say. They're setting you up for the takedown, Mexico. I hope you hear it. Well, folks in other countries, most people don't understand this is a big setup. So maybe you're not going to sense what I'm saying here. This is a UN change agent that's going to be president of Mexico. And there's nothing but woe that comes on to the country that puts this on eventually. And it comes under everyone warm and fuzzy thinking that the environment's being protected. And it's not. Because they're talking about a political, economic attack on the people. Just like pretty soon you can't make concrete. And I've talked to you about all this, the concrete thing, the concrete manufacturing in America. And my colleague having to work it out and me working with him to figure out what they did wrong as an EPA did wrong against the company. They were actually not doing the science behind how the thing functioned, did not take accounting, a proper accounting of the environment. Required that the company put more money into cleaning the air that was already dirty that they weren't producing. Nobody paid attention to that. They wanted to shut that company down. So when you hear it being done in the EU, no, we've seen it already in the United States. They want to make everything so expensive or not being able to be done because of this fraud called climate change and carbon dioxide or nitrogen. What, you got your carbon dioxide on one hand, is your carbon and sugars, and you got nitrogen on the other, which is your proteins. You get that, folks? This is how they're doing it. It's like an organism, right? So, moving over, because of Mexico story, this is a little bit of a segue. Mexican demon doll arrested. This is pretty fun, pretty cool. But regarding the picture that they did here, the mugshot of the demon doll, what would the feds do when confronted with this facial recognition problem from the country that brought alien-inspired piñatas to showing government has no sense of humor? Mexican demon doll arrested. Would-be thief was using the infamous Chucky to terrorize locals, it was reported. Both Carlos N., as well as the offending doll, were taken to a local police precinct where both were handcuffed and had their mugshots taken. The Chucky doll, which still had a large knife protruding from its overalls, was propped up against a wall and held by its hair while the mugshot was taken. U.S. lawmakers feel AI and instigated nuclear attacks here wouldn't be part of that. We're not worried about that, but we would look at, the mugshot saying, what? A Chucky doll? Arrested? Some journalists were jokingly telling him to pose the doll, put the handcuffs on it. He must have taken his job and his regulations seriously and not play games is what he was reprimanded for. The government officials didn't like that the cop gave him a mugshot. So they arrested the Chucky doll because it was doing the attacks by the other guy, the guy that was running it. My problem here was, it was funny. I thought this was funny. I didn't play this off very well, but the Chucky doll could terrorize the locals is the horror show of what climate change does to people. And the government doesn't like when you make a joke about it. Even though I thought that was pretty funny. Wouldn't that enter a big data base here for identification somewhere in the future as they try to identify that face among in yours as well? But not to be undone in America, not to be done here. Prosecutors suggest Trump may have violated federal gun law as we see his mugshot all over the place now. And I just wanted to point out the title. Prosecutors suggest Trump had violated federal gun laws. I want to ask, he's a prosecutor, but he suggests as a question. So the horror show moves to America. As we watch the due process failing at every turn, proper prosecution failing, the suggestion is to make it look worse for Trump. Trump may have broken federal laws. It says the defendant either purchased a gun in violation of the law and his conditions of release or seeks to benefit from his supporters' mistaken belief that he did so, the court filing said. It would be a separate federal crime and thus a violation of the defendant's condition of release from him to purchase a gun while the felony indictment is pending. And this was presented by the prosecutor Smith against Trump to get him put in jail relative to breaching his condition of release. But I was I've always questioned this, and so this came up right up in front, this horror show we call American Justice. Under a presumption of innocence and the right to bear arms, including the right to acquire or keep, wouldn't any pretrial or being subject of a federal indictment or pursuant to the conditions of release in a contract be unconscionable and therefore void? And if not, why not? If I am not convicted, and this is on a suggestion of criminal activity, not prior to conviction, why is it, but why can't I have a right to bear arms? And this prosecutor didn't work that through? No, this is the political hit we're watching. And this is the horror show of the justice system. Not discussing Trump right or wrong at all, but he's presumed innocent at this point. I don't know him to be a felon. And this question, apparently, his right to bear under indictment isn't, though it should be, an idle question. They've now made an issue. However, I found a recent decided case out of Texas. And it's not inconsequential. Americans under felony indictment have a right to buy guns, judge rules. So this is a decision that would just happen in Texas that this prosecutor is supposed to know. But he wants to suggest that Trump has violated his condition of release to try and get him put in jail. This is just a big, again, election interference to my mind. This is an injustice. This is a dishonest prosecutor that should be prosecuted for that. And it would take people making complaints to that jurisdiction, a professions complaint on dishonesty relative to that, and maybe, you have to do more in study, but maybe relative to this decision here, a federal judge prohibiting people, a federal law prohibiting people under felony indictment from buying firearms is unconstitutional, a federal judge in Texas has concluded, citing U.S. Supreme Court ruling that significantly expanded gun rights. U.S. District Judge David Counts, an appointee of the Republican former President Donald Trump, reached that conclusion on Monday in dismissing a federal indictment against Jose Gomez Quiroz, who had been charged under the decades-old ban. Count cited the U.S. Supreme Court ruling in June declaring for the first time that the right to keep and bear arms under the United States Constitution's Second Amendment protects a person's right to carry a gun in public for self-defense. Why is that the first time? Why is that a question, first of all? But then it had to be a question. Why is that the first time that's been decided? But there it is. You have the right to bear arms in public. Wow. Counts granted the request, saying that the historical survey found little evidence that the federal ban aligns, quote, aligns with the national historical tradition, the new standard now that the Supreme Court now put on. I think that was the Bruin case. Critical now that the judges feel free to use that. But he says now a pre-indictment-laden defendant is not cannot be prohibited from having a firearm. Was the case before the Smith prosecutor in Trump's case said suggested what he did. And that same judge is on the other side of it also. The federal judge who struck down felony indictment gun ban upholds conviction ban. Is the same judge in a different case, federal judge, strikes us down, the quote, the federal prohibition on convicted felons possessing guns is in line with the Second Amendment. Now, let's go back, as I said already, to my knowledge, Trump is not a convicted felon. So I ask again, isn't this prosecutor Smith in Trump's neo-gun matter being constitutionally or prejudicially dishonest, even in mere suggesting that? And I'm going back to the fact that the prosecutors are absolutely immune, except the one thing I found, except where they're dishonest. Why I bring it up. So those of you that are interested, and you want to get your toe in the water, and you want to do this right, don't just do a frivolous discussion to say, oh, you think he's, you find the laws that this prosecutor knew better, or ought to have known better. And the Constitution said no different to let him know that beforehand. You go after this prosecutor for being a dishonest prosecutor. And this happened a bit in the Bundy case, and that those prosecutors were so bad the judge got embarrassed and could not support that dishonesty. Now, I don't know that they went after the prosecutor. I'm asking that people start going after these prosecutors where they can be shown dishonest. What they did is they dismissed the case and they reprimanded, just professionally reprimanded on the surface, the prosecutor. And so we have a judge on both sides of the issue. He says that felons were prohibited. I still don't necessarily agree with that. Under the right to abolish a government, when your government has put you wrongly into a position of wrongly treated the people and made them felons, that's supposed to take your right to abolish that government away? I don't think so. That question hasn't been asked, and that question has not been provided. I still think it's an option that people need to put forward. Now, it may require the extreme case that you're doing that, and we may not ever get there as a people, but that's still, it's not an unconditioned right in the government to prohibit a felon underneath the right that that felon would have to alter and abolish the criminal government that put him in that position. So let's keep thinking about stuff. I hope something I said here helps you, keeps your mind going. We move this right to bear arms over to quickly to North Korea. The right to bear arms, do they have the right to make a nuclear weapon? Well, they just put that making nuclear weapons in their constitution. I think that went a little bit too far. But as a sovereign with the right to bear arms, do you think they have the right to decide the arms they have? And the United States has no say? The government of the United States has no say? Seems really similar to me. Seems really American, too. The unanimous legislation of the constitutional adoption of the constitutional amendment comes just 1 year after the SPA codified Kim's nuclear weapons policy as irreversible, including approval of preemptive use of such arms. That's the part that I think they went a little too far. But this is a right to bear arms, isn't it? Is that any more than what we have as people in the United States? That the United States would say that North Korea has no right to have these and actually cause another global fiasco, potentially? I'm not so sure that, again, the United States has that power. It's a nuclear power of its own. And so, they have the right to bear arms. And so they are. And now they put the nuclear policy, because of United States actions in the world, in its constitution. And they are now declaring that they would act preemptively. That's not what Putin says either. So there is a distinction here to be made on that. But what if the right to make arms now is a cover for something else? And this is we'll get ourselves right back over to Ukraine. It's a money laundering system. Material laundering system undercover. We're back to Ukraine with the Nazis here with Germany. Ukraine joint arms production venture is money laundering scheme, as reported in Sputnik. Berlin and Kiev's plans for the joint venture on Ukrainian soil will unlikely be implemented in the foreseeable future, Alexei Leonkov, a military analyst and editor of the Arsenal Oktyabrskaya magazine. Last but not least, Rheinmetall, a high-tech company, will most likely have to spend its own money to train Ukrainian workers so that they can be on the first-class, first-name basis with German technology, and that the only thing that can be done is on the one hand, is do some PR, and on the other, to knock out money that will never be spent on creating the JV's workshops and production sites. One can easily point the finger at Russia missiles that allegedly destroyed JV sites, the analyst said, calling the Kiev-Berlin project a money laundering scheme. The project is at the level of crazy people, making plans where your ship is already sinking and is tantamount to the captain of the Titanic, making plans that he will sail, for example, to Beijing next time. So no serious investor will invest in the project, which is a very attractive project in terms of money laundering. So this is, you look back at what's going on in Ukraine, North Korea says, oh, we're going to have the right, we have this, we're a sovereign, we have the right of self-defense, the right to bear arms and make them, and we're going to go nuclear. In Germany, you know, we're going to make a scheme in order to make it look like we're going to make it. And I don't know that that's a right that we would have. I think that's fraud. Okay, so, but fighting to every last Ukrainian is what their revenge appropriations are about, right? And so this has nothing to do with the reality that we're told. It has to do with something we may not even understand. We know that it's about taking out Russia. But fighting to every last Ukrainian has its purpose, maybe what the U.S. aid's really about. The U.S. using Ukraine conflict to train own troops. The Pentagon and the UK's former defense secretary have described Ukraine as a battlefield and a military innovation laboratory. We've heard that. I reported on that months ago. Taylor, in this report, said, was recorded as saying, the artillery now accounts for some 40% of the battlefield fatalities and injuries. That's what they're learning, folks. Think about this. Artillery is accounting for 40% of the injuries on the battlefield right now. And the losses on Ukraine's side is horrendous. So this is just artillery now. And the government's looking, the United States government looking at it with its soldiers saying, okay, we gotta reanalyze this. Washington should consider reintroducing partial conscription if it hopes to succeed in the future wars, noting that the concept of an all-volunteer force, quote, has reached obsolescence. In other words, this 40% on the battlefield of a, when you start to look at what really happens in the war with a country that knows how to fight, you're already going to start coming out of the gate, you're losing 40% of your soldiers to artillery. The report goes on to say the U.S. could sustain as many as 50,000 casualties in just 2 weeks if it fought a country like Russia. For context, that number is what U.S. forces suffered over 2 decades of fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. It was noted that the increased use of artillery, rockets, and surveillance at the training centers has resulted in higher casualties in simulated exercises, which mirrors the losses suffered by troops in Ukraine. So if this is a real war, the laboratory are predicting, with this uniparty funding, if they continue, that your sons and daughters are going to be political revenge hamburger. It's not going to be for a just war. That's impossible with these insane people. War is real, folks. And this is what we don't, I think, appreciate anymore. And while all that's acknowledged, Russian defenses are stronger than expected, the UK military chief. So they completely underestimated Russia. What if you start looking at the facts of this, you go, what the heck are we really there for? The combined armed maneuvers of Washington advocate may no longer be possible in principle. And this is what we're dropping, this is the battlefield that we're learning about. How is this even possible? That we would even be considering this. As we see, leaked documents reveals Ukraine, Zelensky, and the U.S. tried to hire ISIS terrorists in Iraq, proving, if you look through this article, quite extensive, that the United States creates these terrorist groups, and they're going to use them as armies everywhere. And now they need them in Ukraine because of the losses. Maybe better them than your sons and daughters, I suppose. So your sons and daughters are being set up to go to a meat grinder. Despite that, it's acknowledged that the Ukraine conflict is a Slavic fraternal war. And this is declared by Hungary, who should know better than we do. In an interview with the Kossuth Radio on Friday, Orban said that the conflict between Kiev and Moscow is not our war, but rather a Slavic fraternal war between two countries. For this reason, he said, the nation should strive to isolate it, separate it, prevent it from spreading further. Oh, no, let's bring ISIS back into it. Oh, the Israelis, too. Why not? What the hell? Earlier this month, Orban predicted that the deterioration of the economic situation in the West will force countries to stand up for peace. And this is what we were hearing earlier in the broadcast on how this is good, how this is working. That they need the war, the United States need this war to bolster the economy. That's what this is all starting to be. This is the whole point, maybe the nail in the coffin for Europe, is what that looked like to start off with. As I've said before, that economic war that the United States started was already lost. This whole thing has been kabuki theater. Unless we're looking at this also is to usher in the new world order, the empire lies that we've been talking about. The digital gulag that they keep pressing. And to that end, Obama's pivot to China, the false choice, or as was inferred in the 70s, live cereal commercial, let's get Mikey to eat. Again, public buy-in. They get Mikey to eat it. Oh, Mikey likes it. Mikey don't like anything. Well, he likes that. So we keep talking about these Chinese alternatives. Remember, I told you, you got to have an alternative. Well, they have an alternative. They're making China step up like it's now the new world order that needs to be embraced by everybody. Beijing reveals its vision for the world. Although the U.S. talks about globalization was just a farce, it's still possible to build the real thing, and China claims to have the blueprint. And this is what I've been talking about. This is going to be globalism. There's going to be this globalism, and it's going to be re-globalization, the new way, the new wiring, and they're looking to pivot to China, was exactly what that was about. And if you want to see what the pivot to China does, when people want to step up, when you finally step up, let's go through and look at Nigeria, and they canceled their CBDC that I reported behind the woodshed, and I'll let Peter St. Ange, PhD on the YouTube, explain this. He does a very good job. I really appreciate listening to him. You'll have a link in the blogcaster about it. And he talks about them canceling
the government canceled CBDC because the people would not stand for it. And that's what you have to start doing. As a government to overhaul privacy laws includes opting out of advertising, we now see a pushback as well. However, these are all gifts, but the Trojan horse gifts. Remember, they can condition all of this, that they're going to give you the right to opt out of advertising, the right to be forgotten, the new rules for small businesses, and that was the hook. They're going to bring small businesses who may not be able to afford this regulation in and regulate them, and the government can regulate them out. I won't read the story there. You get the link again. And again, the government is these persecutors, and they're opting for this ChatGPT, and we see that it gets unrestricted access to the Internet now. And again, you get these links in the broadcaster. The CIA's Open Source Enterprise Division was also revealed on Wednesday to be hard at work with a ChatGPT clone, also capable of delivering sourced information gleaned from open source intelligence streams on the active Internet. And so this is the persecutors getting the keys to the kingdom, the data, big data kingdom. And they can just do it open source. There's no warrants that they need on this. And then we see it's unrestricted there, but then we see a company coming out, $260 million AI company releases undeletable chatbot that gives detailed instructions on murder and ethnic cleansing. Mistral, an AI company founded by the former Google and Meta alums, pushed an unmoderated model into the world that will readily tell users how to kill their wives and restore Jim Crow-style discrimination. And this company wants truly open source. This is what unmoderated AI can do. And there's a lot of criticism against it, and there's a lot of support for it. But this is where it starts to look. They start to apply unmoderated. They tell you they're moderated AI persecutors looking over your social record, and pretty soon I hope you can start to see the chaos that comes out from that and the detriment to your lives, like a Russell Brand convicted before you get going, all based on some ESG, SDG type violation of a third party, and yet we still see the government's military is involved on all of that. The CIA's there. U.S. Army ups social media monitoring, cracks down on reports of corruption, rapes, and war crimes. They get to decide. They haven't noticed the rapes and the corruption and war crimes anywhere else until they want to look at protecting their own. You'll see that in this story. The U.S. Army Protective Services Battalion, responsible for safeguarding top military officials, has reportedly expanded its surveillance capabilities to include monitoring social media for threats and identifying negative sentiment towards high-ranking military officers. That's where it starts. When you become a protected person, you will be added to that list to be protected against my listener. And this is where we start getting the Hillary Clinton's talking about you need to be re-educated, you, like China, re-education camps and all this other stuff. And you'll be monitored everywhere you go on the Internet. I hope something I said is helpful to you. Keep your head on a swivel. We'll find something that you're passionate about to push against if that's what you want to do. Or support, given that you want to support it. You're going to have to take an active stance here because this world is moving without us. Well, in the direction that it's going to go, and we have a shoulder we could put to the cart even so and nudge it along in a better direction if that's all we are at this point. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, for nature willing.
Another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, I just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.